Welcome to the Expat Cast. This is the podcast where expats share their stories about fitting in, standing out, and every mishap on the journey to finding home abroad. And this is a special series of the Expat Cast called Tereré Talks, or Tereré Talks. That was better,
right? That
was
really good. That was really good.
Oh my God. Okay, cool. I'm Nicole. I struggle with my R's and all of the languages I can speak, including Spanish. I'm originally from the US. I immigrated to Germany back when I was 25, and now I'm living in Paraguay temporarily. I got super bummed because no one knows anything about this amazing country, so I'm here to fix it.
And I'm Zoe. I'm originally from the US. I'm Nicole's childhood best friend. I lived abroad for a few years, but eventually settled back in Philadelphia in the United States. And I've spent about a month in Paraguay over two visits. So by most people's standards, that makes me an expert.
Tereré is a Paraguayan drink. So for more on that, you can listen to the season announcement episode from August 2023. Today, we're going to talk about shopping in Paraguay. I'm realizing as I'm saying those words that for some people they would associate that with like clothing shopping, jewelry shopping, like fun hobby shopping. That's not what I mean. I don't really do that hobby shopping type of thing. I have no idea.
Yeah. As you were saying it, I was like, wow, people are going to be thrown by what this is actually because you're not a big shopper.
Not at all. I have bought some necessities, like clothing necessities, shoe necessities, but mostly I'm talking about buying furniture, home goods. I was thinking about it in preparation for today's episode. I am pretty sure. So you landed in Paraguay the first time ever. I think we went home, you napped. Then we went to Costa Rica. Is that true?
Yeah, I think we went to Costa Rica first and then we went to Café de Acá.
I think I took you to the hardware store on day one.
Oh, that actually, I think we went to Costa Rica, then the hardware store, and then Plaza
Hogar. Yeah, this like home goods store, Plaza Hogar. Yeah, which is really funny in retrospect. You can tell I was just like super hyped about having my friend come and I wanted to show you my life because like, is that the most exciting thing? In retrospect, no. But in the moment, I had been going to those stores so often because we had nothing in the house. So literally every day we were going to either Plaza Hogar for home goods or Ferrex for like hardware supply store stuff. And so when you got here, I was like, okay, well, welcome to my world. Let's walk over to that store.
And I was happy to be there. I really love in a new country going to some normal life place or even just like when I'm visiting a friend, I'm like, what does your day look like? Show me some places that you've talked to me from or talked to me about.
In last week's episode, we talked about all things food, including grocery stores and grocery shopping and including the institution that is Costa Rica. So I know your thoughts on that, but what were your reactions? What did you think?
I actually thought it was a great hardware store. I thought it was a great home goods store, the other store we went to. I was surprised by them, actually. I don't know. I knew we were in the capital city, and so I knew that there was going to be like stores and stuff, but I think that the stores were so reminiscent of the US or of Europe that I was a little surprised. They were really, really big, which I was surprised by.
I don't think I was expecting outdoor open markets for buying home goods. I was actually really surprised when I saw that in Bolivia. So that tells me I didn't have that in my mind as something that existed. I just wasn't used to someone just like selling loofahs and soap pumps at an outdoor market. That was, for whatever reason, surprising for me. In Paraguay, I don't think I had any expectations, but I think I wouldn't have expected such a large and convenient experience. I will say, found the cracks in the armor pretty quickly. So one thing that's really funny, Plaza Hogar is the name of the home goods store, and it's a big one in Paraguay. You'll buy something and then you'll go back the next week to buy a second one and it's as if it had never been there. And then 2 months later, it's going to reappear on a different floor in a different section.
It really does feel as though the store is just sourcing their things at random.
And what's funny is both for Ferrex, the hardware store, and Plaza Hogar, the home goods store, they have other locations in Asuncion. They just have entire sections of things that don't exist in the other location. And they're similar sizes, so it's just kind of confusing. And also, the home goods store has some furniture, but not much. We were searching for a sofa for like a while, and they don't really sell sofas there, except for one day, then they did. or one location always has sofas and the other one never does, but sometimes it does. Like, it's just very confusing. I remember on your second visit, we went back to some of these stores because I have a bar of soap to wash your hands in the bathroom. And then I'd had a really pretty soap dish, but it got all like soggy from the soap. So they had these really nice sponges to go underneath. And I remember them being sold in a 2-pack. I remember buying them. We needed a third one. I went multiple times back to Plateau Gar and I looked everywhere I could imagine it being, as if they never existed. They're nowhere to be found. And that kind of thing happens a lot. So there is a little bit of pressure I felt over time. If I see something and I like it enough, I don't do the thing of like, well, let me think about it and come back. It's like, no, I buy it, get a receipt, I'll return it if I have to. But like, I cannot assume that when I return, this thing will be there.
Yeah, it's definitely a change of mindset.
Definitely with moving abroad, this is like a really common struggle. But when you land a new country, you just don't know where to buy certain things. For me, that's such a good example of how there are so many learned ways of life in every culture in the world that you just grow up with and you just know. You know, like if I was in the US, I feel like some of these things are in totally different stores, or they have them all in Walmart, but Walmart's only good for certain types of things. And we have that all in our head, you know, we know like, okay, here for that, blah, blah, blah.
I had the hardest time when I moved to France, trying to figure out where the heck I was supposed to buy contact solution. And I don't know why this was so hard for me, because I think eventually it was in a pharmacy. But I went to a lot of stores, and I remember so distinctly being like, I don't understand. Like, where could it possibly be? I remember that feeling so strongly, being like, everything is in the wrong place.
Yeah, I think we definitely had a very strong case of that, because when we were moving, we shipped some stuff, which wasn't something I ever imagined doing. Like, I'm not very attached to items in my life. I feel like they come and go. I get a lot of things secondhand because I live a life where I move a lot, and I'm also very clumsy. So I never really liked getting quality things because I'll find a way to break them. Don't worry. So I was really surprised to all of a sudden be in a situation where, I mean, we had funding to ship things. And so we decided to do it mainly because my partner and I are both immigrants to Germany. So we didn't have like Aunt Susie's house where we can just leave a bunch of stuff in the basement for 2 years. It was really this feeling of like, okay, I'm going through every item I own. I'm selling it. I'm packing it in my suitcase to bring with me on the move because it's that important to me. Or what? Like, what do you do with those in-between things? Like your keepsakes, your memories. We ended up making the decision, okay, let's ship these kinds of things. I know the things that will make us feel more at home, and anything that we can't bear never seeing again, then we have to take it. So we came essentially with no furniture. And by the way, everything we shipped, he moved in January, I moved in March, our stuff got there in May. So anyway, we had to build the house from the ground up, and it was, you know, a 3-bedroom, like there was space. I definitely remember the first maybe 6 months were really just spent trying to navigate things. And I think one thing that really surprised me is the range of prices in Paraguay for home goods, because you can find sofas that I could never imagine buying in my life. They are way too expensive, and there's entire stores of them. But you can also find cheaper-ish ones that are still more expensive than I would have thought, like more expensive than IKEA prices, but not necessarily good quality. And then you can find, like, if you stumble across some dude or lady that makes X, Y, or Z thing, it can be so cheap. But you got to find them. So it was a really crazy game of like, whoa, okay, how do we do this? Facebook Marketplace was a surprisingly good resource for a while. However, we got scammed. I don't know if I ever told you the story, but we got scammed on Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. So one thing that we were trying to buy was shelves or like a sideboard, like just somewhere to put your stuff in a living room or an entryway. So our first attempt, we found one online. It was like black iron frame and then a wooden shelf. Mm-hmm. And it looked okay. We were like, okay, let's go ahead and order it. Delivery is very common here. You can get delivery everything, including furniture. And sometimes it comes in really funny ways. Like this came in a very normal sedan car, like a small car with just a giant shelf somehow attached to the roof. It gets here and everything was wet. So every time you're touching it, your hands are getting completely stained with either black paint or wood stain.
What?
And they just were not like what they were showing in the pictures. We actually ended up sending it back.
Yeah.
And I've heard from other people some horror stories of similar things where, you know, they had to pay a deposit and then the people disappeared, never delivered what they were supposed to deliver. So Facebook Marketplace can be really hit or miss, and it ends up being more work than it's honestly worth.
So what is the quality like in general?
Really mixed bag. So in Plaza Hogar, for instance, for the home goods, a lot of the stuff is like pretty bad quality, which for me is fine for very basic, like curtains just need to be curtains, a curtain rod just needs to hold the curtains. But we bought one or two pieces of furniture. And I remember, you know, we got these like side tables for our guest bedroom. They're very small, simple, basic, and they were like $50 a piece. And they're not anything special or anything particularly good. We have to be very careful with them because they get damaged really easily, and they're just not great, but they're imported. And that's why the price is so expensive.
I see.
You can find good quality imported items.
That's really interesting that you can't use the price to kind of gauge the quality the way that you might be able to in Germany or in the US, where you see like, oh, something is really expensive, then like, you know, is it worth that to pay the extra money so that I get something of good quality? But that's not necessarily the calculus.
For sure. And we learned that the hard way. So I totally fell in love with this yellow armchair, which I still love.
I love that chair.
We bought it from a similar home goods store, not Plaza Hogar, but something similar, for about $200, which for me is like, it was a stretch. It was kind of a splurge. It was like, I just love it. And I had this vision of a cozy reading nook, and it was just perfect for it. So we decided to splurge on it. And we'd saved in other areas of our furniture budget, which I'll talk about in a second, how we did that. So we go for it. And I mean, it's great. It's beautiful. I love it. And it's comfortable for like 10, 15 minutes. But after that, you notice like the upholstering job is, I don't know, it's just not the best. So I'm kind of disappointed. Like I wouldn't necessarily buy another armchair from that store because I feel like, okay, it's going to look good. It's going to be decent, but it's going to be expensive and it's just not going to be worth it. So actually recently we stumbled across, we thought this was a secondhand store. And we walked in and it turned out to just be someone's furniture workshop. So he mostly does woodworking, but he also does upholstery as well. So actually we're waiting right here where I'm recording. there's going to very soon be a really beautiful green two-seater sofa. When we looked at the one in the store, it was just a white single-seater armchair. And we really liked it, but it was like, I don't know. I feel like it would be nice to have like love seat sized or two-seater.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out the guy makes all of them to order. Like he has certain things you could just buy from his workshop, but usually he makes things to order. So he can make it as a two-seater and we can even choose the fabric. And that is costing us $130 to $150.
This is something that I think is really interesting about shopping in Paraguay is how many kind of workshops and artisans there are that you can buy things from and how affordable that is to kind of custom order.
Yeah, that's been a huge adjustment. And I've never been in a position to custom order things in my life. That's always a premium service. And I'm never in the premium service category financially. So it's totally new. And it's been interesting learning how to specify, like, what do I want? I never think about these things in terms of my dream or what I want it to be. I just think of what's available and I'll pick my favorite, you know? So it is an adjustment. I would say it's mixed results. I've heard this from a lot of foreigners too. It's like you can get anything you're dreaming of in Paraguay and it will come out almost what you wanted. I mentioned we saved a lot of money on furniture and we could splurge for that armchair. We saved it because instead of buying a table and chairs and all the stuff in these stores, we furnish most of our house with stuff from, I just call it the furniture street. And we went there together. So if you're driving from Asunción to the lake San Bernardino, you pass through a town called Luque, and just past Luque on the way to Aregua, all of a sudden, the side of that road, which is like, it's an intercity road.
Yeah, it's a major road.
Yeah, and left and right, all of a sudden there are workshops. In the front of them on the lawn are just all of their finished goods. Have you ever seen anything like that? Because you've traveled quite a bit more than me, especially in South America and Southeast Asia.
I'm trying to think. I don't think so. If I have seen it, I don't think I've seen like an entire street like that. And the same thing, like there's like a pottery town where every single building is sell pottery. I haven't seen that kind of thing where it's like really bunched together.
Yeah, it's a really fun way to shop. There's also a plant street, which is actually in town. That one's my absolute favorite because it's so freaking cool. It's in an area where there are a bunch of trees and plants.
Trees.
Yeah, so there are just like existing trees, like as if it's just a natural area. But then towards the front, closer to the road, they are in little bags or pots and they're for sale. So you're just walking through it, and even the part where it is for sale, it feels like a jungle. And then you just keep walking, and it actually becomes, I mean, it's not actually a jungle, but the transition between store and nature is barely noticeable, and it's so much fun shopping there. But yeah, they have a similar one, like you said, for pottery, Aregua, and they have a similar one on the way to Aregua with the furniture, with it's exclusively wood furniture. So when we first got here, we borrowed a friend's car and drove out there and loaded that car down with four dining room chairs, a dining room table. We hadn't had the bench, so we custom ordered a bench. This was my first custom order. So we didn't have it in the car, but I think we paid for it on that visit. Two bedside tables for our bedroom, and I think one or two sort of just tiny like shelves serving a similar function to the shelf from Facebook Marketplace that we had to return. All of that stuff cost $200.
That is so wild.
They're very typical for Paraguay, so no, the longer I'm here, the less special it seems, but they're
They
beautiful.
are really beautiful.
That was an amazing way to furnish a lot of like essentials on a very cheap budget, and we really liked what we got, and so we had the WhatsApp number of the lady whose workshop it was, and so we actually in the couple months later ordered more things from her. So we shipped from Germany the legs of our standing desk. So we needed a tabletop. So we told her the dimensions and tone of wood we wanted. There was like one side table, a desk, like a couple just random things that we custom ordered with her. She delivered and the price was again fantastic. But over time, especially those custom made things have really not held up. So in terms of quality, the wood is good quality, but the craftsmanship, they just cut corners. Like what's happening is the boards are separating on the desk. So, you know, it's comprised of like three pieces of wood, but they're not sufficiently connected. So you could repair it probably if you were ambitious. But what I find is interesting is that the things that we bought from these stands that were not custom, that were just like, this is what they make, they've held up better. There's still some things where, you know, initially I was like, oh, this dining room table, we're gonna have to ship it back to Germany. It's so beautiful. We have to have it our whole life. The boards aren't there are also starting to crack a little bit. Not as bad as the other things that were custom made, but a little bit. So I just have the feeling like over time, they're just not going to hold up as well as I'd maybe expected. So it's kind of a mixed bag with the quality. Now we go to that street when we're just trying to get something, and it doesn't need to be perfect. It doesn't need to be nice. I'm really glad we found this new guy to make furniture because we bought a couple of things from his workshop that day. Like you can just tell a difference. Like, and I don't know anything about furniture making, so I feel like a fraud saying you can tell a difference, but you just can, you know?
And because you're working with individuals rather than an actual store, what is the culture like around haggling? Like, do you haggle with these people or do you just kind of pay what they ask?
That's another thing that I was maybe thinking I would have to do more of is haggling. And I was a little like, oh no, because I've never had to haggle. I don't know. I don't like the feeling of it, especially when the furniture maker is working a hard manual job, probably with less days or time off for less money per month than I make with a part-time job online in the US. Like, it just doesn't feel cool to me to be doing that. At the same time, I don't think it's nice to just be totally taken advantage of and like charged crazy prices. What I found really, really nice is the prices that we're being told by these people are prices that feel like absolute deals to me. So like 200 for all of those wooden things. I'm like, amazing. Is it possible that it would only be $150 to a local? It's very possible. Do I care? No, like my mindset is it's a win-win. If right. they're making a little bit extra money, that's great for them. And I still feel like I'm getting a deal. And there have been times, not really with furniture so much as with services, where people really seem to name a really insane price. So there have been times that I've said like, no, thank you, because it feels like I'm being seen as a foreigner with money and being charged an insane amount for that. That's happened just a couple times. Most of the time, it's in that sweet spot range for me.
Yeah, as long as you don't feel like you're being ripped off, then you're not being ripped off.
Right. And so what we started doing is like the new furniture maker guy that we found. We bought 3 pieces from him that day and we talked to him about making us a kitchen island and a sofa. And so we said, hey, we want to buy these 3 things. We might want to come back with these bigger orders. Can you name us a price for all 3 things? And he did. And he named something that felt like a bigger discount than I was expecting. But clearly it was fine for him. And so we didn't haggle beyond that because right. it felt great. And that's kind of what I've started doing. Like, we have bought 2 scratching poles for the cats here. And I messaged the company again today being like, we need a third. Is there any discount for returning customers? And they said, sure. The price difference is going to end up being like $9. Like, it's not a huge difference, but fine. I'm respectful of the fact that they're offering me some discount and I'm happy and I'm just going to take it. Right. So that's been more my experience. But I wouldn't say it's that haggling culture I've heard of in, you know, like Morocco or something like that.
So is there anything that you felt like you needed in Paraguay but was like difficult to get or like super expensive?
Honestly, with the furniture stuff, I was not expecting it to be quite such an ordeal or quite so expensive for certain things. Another example is clothing. After moving here, it became so clear to me I need linen everything all the time. Like, it's crazy how much a difference it makes. And I ended up getting them from a store that mostly imports from around South America. But the prices are, they're not insane, but like they're, I feel like I'm in Europe, you know, like right. a long sleeve linen shirt from the men's department. Beautiful, great quality, but like $50. That's a lot.
That is a lot. Linen is expensive even in the US.
Exactly. So I kind of just accepted it. I was like, it's necessary. It's always expensive. On the other hand, again, it's just an import issue. So things that were made here can be so much cheaper. I found leather sandals. They were $8 from, I was in a town where they specialize in leather goods. So similar to the Pottery Street, the Furniture Street, they had a leather street. Are they the best in the world? No, but they're definitely going to last a couple of years and they're $8. So,
right.
You know, like
definitely higher quality than $8 would suggest.
Yeah, back to what's hard to get, expensive to get, fancy cosmetics. I've got sort of used to using more organic stuff. I've gotten into like trying to encourage my hair to curl more. And a lot of those products I just get when I'm in Germany and the US. Electronics are really expensive. Weirdly, it's been really hard to find nuts other than peanuts. So we eat peanuts all of the time now. I find it surprising that it's kind of hard to find souvenirs. You can get a lot of nice handmade things like the shoes I mentioned or other leather goods, but they're not necessarily going to say Paraguay or Asunción. And I'm thinking of like little things to bring my family from this place I'm living. And I think they don't necessarily want leather shoes, but they maybe would like a magnet for their fridge.
Right.
And that type of thing, or like postcards, has been pretty hard to find. It's getting a little bit better, but that surprised me. Oh, also cat food. It's harder to find wet food. Dry food is abundant, but wet food and then like quality wet food is really hard. We actually make our own homemade cat food now because what you can get is the lowest level stuff from the US that's imported and then thus really expensive.
Speaking of cats, you adopted cats in Paraguay.
I
did. Which is kind of like buying cats.
Well, you would think. I mean, that was also an interesting experience. I don't think I mentioned on here yet.
I was just about to say.
I've adopted now my 2nd Paraguayan cat. He was part of a litter where there were 4 of them, 2 girls, 2 boys. So naturally they were like, oh, they're the ABBA cats. And each of them has a name after ABBA. So his name is Bjorn, a name that I can pretty much only say in a really American way, like Bjorn. And Spanish speakers really struggle with Bjorn. We gave him a 2nd name, Alfred, a little easier for people to say. So his name is Bjorn Alfred. So when we adopted Tomato, which is the 1st cat I got in Paraguay, it was from a shelter and we paid some kind of very minimal adoption fee, like I think under $10 or maybe $10 max. That's really different than in Germany. Like cat adoption is a very, of course, regulated thing. And the cats often come, you know, with all their vaccinations. They've had this amazing treatment in the adoption shelter. I mean, at least compared to this, which was like just a bunch of kittens shoved in this one room. And Tomato had a bunch of health issues because he was in contact with a lot of sick cats as a baby. But point being, the adoption fee was very, very low. With Björn Alfred, it was like just the person who had found these kittens and wanted to take care of them. So there was no fee. It was just this lady like handing us over this kitten.
Yeah. In the US, I feel like that is kind of common for cats, not common with dogs.
Interesting.
Although you can still adopt a cat like from a shelter.
With cat accessories and things like that, it's also been weirdly difficult. Like certain cat toys, they're just hard to find, and they do have some specialty pet stores, but then the prices are crazy. I mentioned I'm buying another cat tree now. This one's kind of deluxe, so it's another thing that's kind of a splurge, but it's $130, which I think is pretty expensive and pretty on par for what you would pay in the US. We're getting that $9 discount, so it's about $120. Nice. Yeah, so that's been an adjusted experience compared to the store in Freiburg that had like the nice Swedish food, or they had a whole aisle of different options. They had all of these things. And I know in the US people are next level.
Yeah, well, I was just telling you the last time we were recording, there was across the street from my house a grand opening of a doggy ATM where...
It's the most American thing I've ever heard.
It's like in the bank across the street from me. I don't know how it works, but the ATM dispenses dog treats.
Yeah, so I think pet ownership is just, it's viewed differently here. I did also want to mention one other interesting experience is, so when you're getting gas, you do not pump your gas. This is maybe less weird for you because you live in Philadelphia and right across the river is New Jersey. And they also have this policy of people pump your gas for you. You stay in the car and then you just pay.
Yeah.
But in Paraguay, I think anything that could be a job is a job. And there's people that pump your gas for you. But what I thought was interesting is I was talking to a Paraguayan friend and she was saying when she goes on vacation, she doesn't rent a car because she doesn't even know how to pump gas.
Yeah.
You know, in Jersey, it's a smaller state. You often end up in Pennsylvania, Delaware, New York. And so I think people from Jersey still learn how to pump gas. But here, because it's a bit more difficult to travel to another place where you would have to pump your own gas, like you just never learn. There were a couple of random prices I wanted to mention as we wrap up. We resolved the sofa situation. So we ended up getting a set of two. One is a three-seater, one's a two-seater. And it was like $300, $350 for both. I mentioned we're getting a kitchen island. So the base is going to be wood and then the top is going to be granite. And the total is going to be somewhere between like $250 to $300. I mentioned plants earlier in that amazing plant street, and there's also the pottery street. So between those two, those are things that are very, very available in Paraguay. So we just bought these. It was like a pre-designed plant situation. So you have this like concrete base. They put the soil in. The type of plant it is needs like a special gravel. The gravel's in there, and then the plant. And they were like $10-$15 a pop.
Oh my God.
They look really beautiful. And I think plants in the US are quite expensive, right?
Yeah, it can depend on where you go, but a large plant like that would be expensive for sure.
And I share on Instagram a lot of pictures of my backyard because it's just beautiful and I love it. And we have this really nice hammock back there, Paraguayan made, and only cost about $20. And it's like gorgeous. All right, those are all the prices that I wrote down. But hopefully you guys got a sense of the adventure that is shopping in Paraguay. I definitely keep a running list of things I want to buy when I am abroad, certain things that are just cheaper or more available. Actually, last night I had dinner with friends who just got back from Germany. So if anyone's curious, my haul that they brought me was a couple bags of Haribo gummies, a couple bars of Ritter Sport chocolate, a bunch of cat treats. It's another thing I forgot to mention in the cat section. They don't really have cat treats here basically at all. And this is a funny one, but you know this like paste that you put in the wall to patch a hole?
Yeah.
We actually had them bring us a tube of that. These friends, it's a couple and the husband is from Peru and he said he doesn't even know what you would call that. So that was interesting to me.
When I came to visit you, I brought you soap.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, Castile soap.
Yep.
And if you are moving to Paraguay, you can reach out to Nicole at theexpatcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let us wrap it up with our capybara jokes of the day. For context, Zoe and I spent hours on a canoe in this river that was a runoff of the Amazon in northern Bolivia, coming up with every possible pun we could think of with the word capybara. And now we're going to share some of the jokes with you.
I can start. I've been thinking while you were going over prices. So
you have an advantage.
I had a little bit of an advantage. I tuned out. I actually have two because one of them I haven't said out loud yet and I'm a little nervous about it. So then I have like a really classic basic one as a backup.
Okay.
Wow. So what do you call a capybara who needs to buy home goods?
Oh, what do you call them?
A capiogara.
Oh my gosh, that's like so good. Yeah, an ogar is home. Oh my gosh, that's perfect. You made a Spanish pun, Zoe.
Amazing. I'm not going to do my other one then. I'll save it.
Yeah, save it for next time. See if you remember it. Okay, I came up with one that I think is actually great.
Oh,
okay.
Good.
What do you call a capybara who is just so funny?
What?
A capy. Ha ha ha. It's good, right?
That was incredible. I really like that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, we'll be back in a week to talk about the Paraguayan people.
I love it.
Till then, have a good week. Hasta luego.
See ya.